Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
Away from the biggest heavyweight title defense for this man ever, Hulk Hogan, you've got to be ready.
Well, you know, I hope Pontiac, Michigan recovers, man. I'm glad I snuck in early last night, brother. I didn't realize the interstate, the Pontiac Silverdome was in danger. Not the 90,000 plus on the inside. It's the 90,000 plus on the outside of the Silverdome. Those are the ones I'm worried about, because when I get my hands on that big, nasty giant, when he faces the truth, when he feels the wrath of Hulkamania, the day the whole earth is going to shake. What are those 90,000 plus Hulkamaniacs on the outside going to think? I'm not worried about the people at the closed circuit. I'm not worried about the people all around the world. They'll see it. But the intensity of Hulkamania, the way it's turned this whole state upside down, the way the whole world's turned upside down, what are they going to think when the giant hits the ground, he feels the wrath of Hulkamania, and the whole world shakes at my feet?
We could conceivably blow the roof off this great facility, the Silverdome. Right now, let's go back to the booth.
All right, what's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? This is Russell talking to D at 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Open Talk 313 The Flash and blogtalkradio.com. This is a special edition of Russell Talk in the D. We are scheduled to be bringing on Nick Hossman, a writer, host. He does everything over at Wrestling Inc. He should be joining us relatively shortly. Unfortunately, I just realized that I gave him the wrong phone number to call into the show, so I just emailed Nick the correct phone number, so hopefully he sees that email and he calls in shortly. Happy to be back here with you all again. I always want to thank God for the opportunity to talk wrestling and run our mouth, agree or disagree. I'm going to be bringing a gentleman on shortly because we know those are the guys you want to hear and not me. But on a funny and serious note, last night was the first time I had a chance to really smile and chuckle at wrestling in a long time. Like, seriously, last night on Raw was one of the first times in, I want to say, in years that I just chuckled. Because usually when I watch wrestling, I'm kind of serious, you know. Yes, they have light moments where you can laugh, but for the most part, I'm always serious. But there was a particular moment last night where I could do nothing but laugh. And it was fun to be a WWE fan again, even though I am one now, but it was a different kind of fandom that I felt last night. And I'm talking about when Corey Graves won the 24/7 title, albeit he was champion for all but maybe 10 seconds, but it was something about him winning that made me laugh, that made me happy. You know, part of it, I think I was happy that Corey Graves won a championship and won a match because his career was cut short due to injuries. That made me happy. And on another note, it was just a funny, funny moment. You know, I usually don't give a care about the 24/7 championship and those who are fighting for the championship. I usually don't care, but that was one of the best things I've seen in a long time. So I wanted to kick off the show with that. And I hope WWE does more of that funny stuff with people like Corey Graves winning a 24/7 championship. Let's bring in the crew before we bring on our guests. Let's welcome in Brother Josh. Good evening, Brother Josh. Welcome, brother.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Pretty good, pretty good, man. We got a special exclusive show today at this hour. Brother Kayvon, what's going on,
brother? Nothing much. Just living the dream. Just living the dream.
And then the main man, Dom. What's up, Dom?
Bang, bang. What's going on?
Oh, man. We all four of us are back here to talk wrestling, to yap about wrestling. So nothing but good times. But we want to move along with this special edition of Wrestle Talk and D because our guest of the evening has arrived, and I apologize to you, Nick, because I gave you the wrong phone number, and I hope I'm saying your name correctly. Nick Hossman, he is a writer, managing editor, host of Wrestling Inc. Many of us, we read their articles, we read their stories, we listened to his podcast. So many of us, we know who he is, and I'm so thankful that he's doing the show today. And actually, he said yes to be on at a short notice. So I want to thank him for saying yes to coming on such a short notice. But before we bring him on, I always say this. Nobody has to accept your invitation. Nobody has to say yes to do anything for you in life. It could be an invitation to a birthday party, an invitation to a celebration, a graduation, anything. Nobody has to say yes. So I'm always thankful when someone says yes, and I'm thankful that Nick said yes to join us today. We want to do something special for Nick, as we do for all of our other special guests that come on. We're going to play him an intro, and once the intro comes on, we're going to bring him on to the show. All right, those that are listening, joining us right now is Nick Hossman of Wrestling Inc. Welcome, Nick, to Wrestle Talking to D.
Hey, what's going on? It's Houseman. Houseman.
Houseman.
It's okay,
okay.
It's German. It looks like you said it, but it's actually House. I understand. But that's not an issue. Hi, Martez. Good to talk to you. Thank you guys for having me on.
Hey, we appreciate you accepting the invitation. And, man, you've done a lot in your career. Definitely that's where I want to start at, your career and how you got to this point.
Sure.
We have three other hosts that's on this show. They're going to ask you questions as well. And I know you've probably done 1,000 interviews before, but for those that are listening on Wrestle Talk with me, how did you even get started in wrestling, period? How did you start liking wrestling or loving wrestling? How did that formulate for you?
The long story short is, you know, I grew up in Texas. I was a wrestling fan as a kid. I also had a passion for doing comedy, specifically improv. And so when I went to college, I moved to Chicago, where I still live, and became very ingrained in the Chicago comedy scene. And that's when I met Colt Cabana, who came to me looking to learn how to do comedy after he got fired by WWE. Mm-hmm. And after working with Colt for a little bit, he introduced me to his wrestling buddies. His wrestling buddies asked me to become a manager. So I was a manager for a few years. And then after a few bad bumps, I decided I probably wasn't meant to be in or around a ring because I'll get hurt. So I just wanted to keep with the business and decided to take a stab about 6 years ago at becoming a pro wrestling journalist, since I figured since I'd been in the business, I would probably pundit better than a lot of other people in the space. And, as the past couple of years have gone by, I've been fortunate to kind of move up in that world. And now I do this, and I do commentary for Warrior Wrestling, and I get to work on a lot of different projects with big, fun wrestling people. And that's kind of the whole story, Martez. That's everything. That's the 10,000-foot view.
That's what's up. You said it so well. I want to know this. How has your life changed? You know, because people know who you are, right? People know who you are.
Sure.
You're in the – maybe I could say you're in the line – to me, you're in the limelight. People know who you are. So how has your life changed, and how have you been able to handle – the extra exposure you may get from being in this arena?
It's definitely more responsibility when you're responsible for carrying the narrative, right? Like the way I write about people or the headlines I give them, help to kind of create whatever narrative or story everybody's kind of talking about at the moment. And so I guess just the way that I kind of approach and look at the business has kind of changed dealing with people. I mean, more people know who I am. So you get, people that run their mouths on Twitter from time to time or decide to spout off on iTunes reviews. But, whatever. I have a great therapist. I've gotten very good about just kind of going with the flow. And I don't really cope with it. I just kind of accept it and embrace it all. I love your attitude about accepting invitations you were saying earlier. I thought that was really good. And I try to do the same thing. Just try to be cool and be cool to the people around me and take things as they come. I don't try to sweat the small stuff or the negativity.
Awesome. I definitely feel you on that. We're gonna bring in the other three hosts. Dominic, did you have a question for Nick?
No, at the moment.
Okay. What about you, Josh?
So from the time that you began to now, how do you see that the landscape of wrestling has changed, for the better or for the worse?
That's a great question. For me, it's the better. When I was doing the manage, and so I guess I'll come at it from the perspective of somebody from Chicago or like who's been working in Chicago, right? So when I was doing the managing thing, about a decade ago, Chicago really wasn't the place wrestlers were getting plucked up from. Everybody that was doing wrestling of note was coming from the East and West Coast. And you kind of had this dead spot in the middle. you know, and like a lot of people would get like, you know, some experience in Chicago, but then they'd leave, you know, they'd go somewhere else. You know, when I decided to stop doing the managing thing, I was actually managing Mustafa Ali on the independent scene. So that tells you about how long ago that was.
Wow.
You know, and everybody knew how good Mustafa was, and obviously he's, you know, killing it right now. But I didn't, you know, even he was like, at the time, I remember, you know, he was a cop, he had a family. He's like, what, are you older? You know, what am I doing? You know, those conversations, and luckily it all worked out for him. But I didn't see the lane for me as a manager, you know, and that was about 10 years ago. Man, flash forward, if I was the same age now, I think it'd be a totally different story. I'd probably be Frank the Clown. No, you know, I have a lot of respect for Frank. I think Frank's having the time of his life. You know, I love what he's doing in Chicago right now and you know, more nationally. But there were not opportunities for people in Chicago, really, 10 years ago. Now, we're the center of the wrestling universe. You know, we have a lot of great promotions. You know, one of the things that I think I'd probably take the most pride in Chicago is there was only really one promotion running in Chicago, I think, what was it, 6-7 years ago now? And that was AAW. I mean, there was CSW, smaller friends, stuff like that. But I helped usher in freelance wrestling in Chicago because I thought it was unfortunate that there weren't multiple places to work. And fortunately, that has worked out and created opportunities for a lot of other people. And I know that there's going to be some other cool stuff happening in Chicago here, you know, soon too. And that's really just the story of the last 10 years. You know, when I really started getting into this business, we were in a lull, you know. Now, you know, we're full speed ahead. There's stuff happening every day, more opportunities being created every day. And it's just, it's very, very different than it was 10 years ago for me by a mile.
Wow. Did you have another question, Josh?
What was the most important, impactful moment for you in your career when you were managing?
Oh, when I was managing. Most important, I got to do a match. I have one match. I'm 1-0 in pro wrestling. I wrestled one of my charges, a guy named Ashton Baton. We had worked together for a long time. And he's out in Portland. I think he's out in Portland right now, but he's like gorgeous. He's like an underwear model. So I think getting to have a wrestling match, that was probably pretty influential. I worked for Billy Corgan for a little while in Chicago, when he did Resistance Pro Wrestling. I was like his only manager, and Billy's a weirdo. So I wouldn't say it was necessarily like great in the end. But that was kind of cool, you know, getting to work with Billy. I don't really know. I don't know. Rikishi sat on my face. Road Dogg punched me in the face. You know, I worked with Jake Roberts. I had a lot of cool moments. I don't know that I can pick honestly one. I got to do a lot of fun stuff, I'm very fortunate to say, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's cool. That's the only two questions I had.
Oh, okay. Kayvon, did you want to jump in with a question or two?
Sure. Out of everybody that you have managed over the years, who was your favorite? Who was your favorite guy that you have managed so far?
Well, I don't really manage anymore. But from my run, you know, I was very close to a group of guys. We were actually called the Elite before there was the Elite, at least a major one. That was my indie faction name. I working with Mustafa was probably the most I ever learned, and really like, because it was such an interesting time for him, because, you know, you've heard him talk about it in interviews more, but like there was a period where he was doing what he thought was like a more traditional kind of, you know, Muslim character, right, with the, you know, headpiece and, you know, the prayer rug, all this type of stuff, and it just wasn't him. He's a guy from Chicago, right? And so when we started working together and we were talking about how I was going to manage him, he's like, you're not some guy who's going to translate for me, and I'm not some terrorist or whatever. Like, I'm just a great wrestler, you're my manager, you're here to do my business, that's the relationship, right? And just getting into his head and just working with him about, like, how he presented himself, how he wanted to be presented, how seriously he took the business. Like, he was – I mean, like, he's been the guy in Chicago for well over a decade. And so when I got paired with him, I couldn't even really believe it, you know? So I would say Mustafa – I mean, when I look back on, like – and I hate to break people's – hurt people's feelings because I know I got other guys I really enjoyed working with. But I learned a lot, and I really treasure the time I got to spend working with Mustafa, for sure.
Okay. That's like the only question that I have.
Oh, okay. Nick, could you tell us a little bit more about the podcast? How did that come about? What is the theme? What is the theme of the podcast? Could you just elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, not that complicated. The show I do right now is called The Wrestling Inc. Daily. It's the daily pro wrestling news podcast for WrestlingInc.com. You know, I sit around every day at 5 p.m. Eastern and just shoot the breeze with some people I really like about, you know, what's the news of the day. And occasionally I intersperse interviews into the show, you know, with different notable people. And... yeah, that's about it, right? You know,
yep.
It's fun. It's taking off. I enjoy it, and, you know, it's cool.
Do you have a favorite interview or a least favorite interview that you don't mind talking about with us?
It kind of goes in waves. I got to do an interview recently. I was doing Sean Waltman's podcast for a while. And then we both just got super busy, and so now we're just friends, but we'll find something else to do here sooner than later. But when I was doing Sean's podcast, we got to talk to Mick Foley about the video he put out about how he felt WWE had a problem right now, and this was before all the releases. It got, like, tons of attention, and it was, like, all anybody was talking about on the internet, you know? And we got Mick like a couple hours after he posted that video, and to just kind of, you know, get to talk to Mick and Sean Waltman like at the same time, like I'm the third guy in that room, you know? and like just getting to kind of hear them, you know, just be candid and just talk like two guys at a bar about like what's going on with WWE and like how they think things should be fixed or, you know, what AEW is like as competition. Like, it did really well. It got a lot of attention. But I think of, like, all the stuff I've done recently, that one just kind of stuck with me just because it was so surreal. Like, Mick Foley and Sean Waltman were, like, two of my heroes growing up, you know?
Hey, that's definitely dynamite, if you ask me.
Yeah, cool.
Now, we want to go over some topics with you in regards to the latest in the world of wrestling, if we can do that. What do you feel about? How do you feel about WWE right now? You know, everybody got their own opinion about WWE. I'm a WWE lifer. They can do no wrong in my book. But that's just me. And how do you feel about the state of WWE before we get into everything else?
My opinion will, first of all, obviously not be the opinion of everybody. I mean, if you're a WWE lifer and you think everything they do is great, that's awesome. You know, like there's the old thing that gets told on every podcast, right? Like pro wrestling's like ice cream, you know? If you like strawberry ice cream, that's cool. I shouldn't like hate you and want to stab you for liking strawberry ice cream, you know? Which is sometimes what happens these days. I feel like there's a lot of ice cream shop stabbings in the world of professional wrestling at the moment. So I think WWE is for kids, right? Like AEW is for adults. WWE is a show geared towards children with some elements that don't make you as an adult going to take the kid to the show feel weird, you know? But by and large, that WWE's product is not the same as AEW. They don't want to be AEW, right? They want to be a product that you can bring your kids to, buy four shirts because there's four of you there, buy four ice cream cones, like buy four of everything. They don't want to sell a la carte. They want to sell little family clusters, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a tough product for me to watch a lot of the time. I think the wrestling is very, very good. I think we're actually probably in like a sleeper best wrestlers era of WWE. I think people are going to look back at this era and be like, Jesus, look at that talent, you know? But unfortunately, unlike when we were in the 90s with WWE and WCW, Vince has a lot less incentive to change anything, right? Like, he had to change in the 90s because he was losing money and he wasn't a public company and it was all on him. Now, he's got all these deals with all these different companies, licensing, stockholders, and, like, as long as the company is making money and this whole we're going to appeal to family thing and we're going to work TV deals thing is going well for them, you know, he's not going to change anything. So for me, it's a tough product to watch just because it's not a product, like, geared towards me, just personally, you know?
I mean, I agree with you on that. You guys can definitely jump in if you got any questions. I hear you talking, Dom. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, hey, Nick, how you doing? This is Dom, man. My question is right now, you're from Chicago, so what's your thoughts of CM Punk in return, and do you feel like it's a big success or it's a failure?
Nice to meet you, Dom. Great question. I was at the AEW Rampage when he came back, and it was like the craziest energy I've ever been around. Like, I mean, textural. You can feel it. You could cut a swab of it out of the air, right? So the guy has definitely made an impression, you know? I think we're finally getting to the point where the new car smell has worn off and we're going to see CM Punk the wrestler. He needs to get engaged, right? Like, the Eddie Kingston stuff, you know, was so good because it was finally somebody stepping to CM Punk, right? I guarantee you, Darby Allin, Daniel Garcia, Powerhouse Hobbs, I guarantee you, all of those guys had a chance where if they wanted to say something to get a rise out of Punk or pop interest or whatever, they could have. But they didn't because they respect Punk too much and they're scared of him, right? So Punk just goes out there and does these warm-up matches with these guys and wipes the floor with them. They go to the next thing. You have a guy in Eddie Kingston who says, I'm not just here to put you over and tell you how great you are. I'm here to make money and present professional wrestling. And I know how to do that, and I got nothing to lose. And when you put that energy in there with Punk, that's the spark we've needed, because now Punk is no longer a guy kind of standing on the side waiting for something to come to him. Something has come to Punk and is dragging him in, you know, making him react. And I think that, I mean, it's a success, right? The guy sold tons and tons of merchandise and ice cream bars. And by the end of the year, we're finally seeing Punk integrated into meaningful stories for AEW. And that's what we've been missing to this point. So I hope it goes, I hope they keep with it. I think Punk can bring a lot to AEW right now.
So are you happy that CM Punk went to AEW instead of WWE?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just for no other reason than the business needs AEW to be viable, right? Like, the business needs guys like Punk and Danielson and Moxley taking that chance and going over there and bringing more attention to that brand so that we don't have just one company dictating the pace. I mean, if Punk went back to WWE, God knows what he'd be doing, right? You know, it probably wouldn't be great. You know, what's left for him to do? Go feud with Hunter Hearst Helmsley, who's laid up in a hospital with a heart attack? You know, like,
I mean,
there's really...
I think it would have been quite a few dream matches that, I mean, the fans, we would have been rioting for, but WWE will be, no, it's not funny, or no, I don't see it, type of matches he could have did.
See, but the matches I want to have to see Punk, the matches I want to see Punk have in WWE, I don't really want to see him have in WWE. I want to see him have an AEW, and that's becoming the problem for WWE, is the guys who can wrestle and can tell stories, if they've got a ticket to ride over at AEW right now, they're taking that ticket to ride, and I don't blame them, right? And Punk could go over there and have great matches with Seth Rollins or whoever right now, but what does the story look like? What are they going to make this guy do going into the match, after the match? Like, all of that stuff, what a nightmare. You know, the in-ring stuff with him and whoever I'm sure would be great, but we don't want to see what that looks like. He doesn't want to be a part of it. That the matches, those three matches, people are going to want to see him in an AEW environment. And that's what the issue is here for WWE now. If guys are just like, hey, this just, I can't tell my stories. I can't, where I don't have fun here anymore. And they just leave, you know?
Yeah, I understand. It's like WWE at times are rebooting or trying to redust off old storylines or, you know, vintage gimmicks and making it seem like we don't remember. Or for the newer then millennials, you know, somewhat, you know, pushing it towards the audience. And we're like, no, we know where this is going. So, yeah, I kind of get you.
Yeah. Yeah, the unpredictability, I think, because, like, you watch, like, go back to Eddie and CM Punk, like, that Rampage promo. The unpredictability of that, like, you know, you're asking yourself questions. Is he pissing off Punk? Is this getting real? Do they mean for this to get pulled apart? Like, you never, the only time that ever happens is when Charlotte does anything in WWE anymore. Like, she is literally the only person in WWE, I think, at the moment that has that AEW feel, and that's why she feels out of place there.
I think, and then with WWE, it's so much of Vince. Like, you know, you have a few people that will speak out, like, and that's on the same page as us, as the fans, like Matt Riddle. But I feel like they secretly and pettiness punish wrestlers for, go out the box or be on our side. So that's why some people, their superstars, are just playing it safe.
Well, and that's part of the problem with WWE right now, is they don't want to let anybody get too big. You know, you can't become bigger than the company. Like, it used to be back in the day, hey, go out there, get tons of attention on yourself. We'll figure out a way to sell that. Now it's like they can control. Like, you know, Drew McIntyre is a great example of that. We're going to put you out there. We're going to push you, and you feel like you're on top of the world. Cool. We're going to take that. We're going to cool you down. Now you got to go back to proving yourself again. And so you're constantly in this spectrum in WWE now, where if you're there, where it's like when you're on top, that's great. But you better know that you're going to get taken down unless you're Roman Reigns, who's like, whatever, something different. But, you know, they're Lashley, McIntyre, you know, these are guys that, you know, you see him go up, and then you see him come down. And then you see him go up, and you see him go down. And it doesn't really feel like anybody's getting consistent top, you know, guy pushes, except for, like, you know, a Becky Lynch or a Roman Reigns, who just, I guess, are making so much money that you start to get a more voice in the room, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell me I'm free.
No,
you're free.
Yeah, man, I know we're not going to keep you on too long, but maybe some of us, I know Josh and Kayvon, y'all can jump in if you want to, but with Nick, but I don't know if we're conditioned as WWE fans to approve everything they do, but to be honest with you, there's nothing about AEW that truly impresses me. You know, I try to like the product. I'm not saying it's bad, but there's nothing that impresses me about AEW. Do you think there's a chance that we are super programmed to not see anything else but WWE? Do you believe that theory?
I mean, again, it's like, you know, different people like different things for different reasons, you know? I'll say this, like, you know, again, while WWE is not necessarily my cup of tea here right now, like, it's very obvious from a lot of my friends of color that they view AEW as a very white product, right? Like, it is just like a lot of guys kind of saying and doing the same thing. They're all like little carbon copies of each other. And I definitely have friends that are like, I just don't want to deal with this. Like, this is just not my thing. And I totally get that, you know? Yeah, I look over at WWE, and, like, WWE is a weirdly, considering their history, but WWE, in my opinion, comes across as the far more progressive company, right? Like, we just saw, right? Like, we just saw two black guys hand off the title to each other, right? You know?
Yep.
Women are a big central part of their plan right now. You know, you look over at AEW, and women's division is Britt Baker plus whoever is the flavor of the moment, you know? And then, again, like a lot of guys who work a very similar style that all kind of look the same, and if you don't like that style and you don't like that look, then this is probably not a product you maybe ain't going to enjoy as much, you know?
Yep. I get it. Guys, did you have any more questions before we let Nick go for the night?
I got one more question. Shoot. So back in the day, the Monday Night Wars between WWE and WCW are kind of existent of how AEW and WWE is going right now. In my opinion, I feel that AEW is making too many mistakes by getting all the talent that's being let go from WWE. Not saying they're not talented. They are talented. But I see AEW kind of shadowing what WCW did, and they're spending all this big money on all these talents. And at the end of the day, if you're working in the red because of the video games and stuff like that, and then you're giving all this creative control to all the talents that you're getting, I mean, is it kind of like not the same thing that WCW did? That's just my opinion. What's your opinion?
I mean, it's a great question, right? And it's a good observation. There are a lot of parallels to be drawn. I don't know what AEW's ledger looks like. I don't know how much they're in the red on some things and in the black on others. And look, when you have tens of millions of dollars to kind of go, you know, you could go into the red for a couple of years and this, and then you're going to recap later. I mean, whatever. I'm not an accountant, right? But what I do know is when you have great players that are available, you pick up great players. And this isn't, you know, as Tony has said in the past, this isn't the NFL. He doesn't have like a salary cap or a player cap. Like it's the Wild West. He can do whatever he wants. If he wants to have 500 top name wrestlers on his roster and figure out what to do with them, he'll do that. It is not a worry for me that AEW is picking up better talent, because Tony seems to be finding other, like we have Dynamite, Rampage. I think the model with Dark and Elevation, especially now that they have the studio down in Orlando and you're trying to create all this, you know, extra content so that you can launch a streaming platform later. I think that all is viable and makes sense. What I worry about is the talent that was influential early in helping AEW get over being pushed aside in favor of these new names, right? And then some kind of resentment sets in amongst the fans towards AEW when they realize that all the names they came to the table loving are no longer the names they're watching on TV. And I don't know when that moment could or would happen, but I do think that that's the only real risk they run right now by bringing in so many former WWE guys, if that makes sense.
Yeah. One more thing. So they brought Bobby Fish in. He won his first match, and then his second match was immediately against CM Punk, which you knew he was going to lose because it's CM Punk. My question is are they feeding whoever they want to feed to CM Punk or Daniel Bryan or whoever the top guys are right now, and are they feeding them, and then at the end of the day, the ones who are being fed are, will they start to resent how they're being treated? Because, I mean, if I was a professional wrestler and I just joined the Federation, then all of a sudden I win a match and then you put me against the biggest guy you got in the company, yeah, that's going to kind of upset me a little bit because you're not letting me showcase what I can do. Even though the match was a great match, but I know at the end of the day, if I don't pick up the W, I'm still losing money.
Yeah, and, you know, look, I think what you're kind of hinting at is ego, right? Like, that's the thing, yeah. Is in wrestling, like, ego is so big. Like, how are people's egos going to react when there are situations where they were getting pushed, now they're not getting pushed? I would like to think that Punk and Brian are down the road going to return the favor to these guys in some way, right?
Yeah.
You know, at the same time, a bit CM Punk's first loss doesn't mean, and Daniel Bryan's first loss doesn't mean anything unless they've looked viable, right? So what we're going through here right now, or have been going through, is kind of necessary, right? Like, I think there would have been a lot of people scratching their heads if Darby Allin had beat CM Punk right out of the gate. I mean, you could tell the story about Punk coming back, but that's not the time to tell it, right? Tony Khan has done a really good job with the booking of, you know, letting people have enough speculation about what could happen, but largely kind of giving them exactly what they thought was going to happen, you know, and like kind of a, you know, in his own way. I think that it's getting time, though, for one of them to do the job. I wonder if Eddie's the guy to beat Punk. I have a lot of doubt about that. I think Daniel Bryan rolls through Miro for sure. So I don't know if now is the time, but I think we might see it for at least one of them here in the not too distant future. I can't think they're both going to go undefeated for like through the new year. I don't think that'll happen.
Oh, all right. You got one more thing, Josh?
No, I just said I agree with that.
Okay, cool. Do you have anything you want to promote or talk about in regards to Wrestling Inc. before we let you go?
Sure. I will be in Minneapolis for AEW Full Gear. I'll be in the scrums, so follow the site for that and our socials, Wrestling Inc. Daily. Find us on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. iTunes reviews always appreciated. I am at Nick_Houseman. Over on Twitter, and my latest interviews, I have one with Matt Cardona that is coming out tomorrow, Wednesday, and then I had one this past Friday we dropped with R-Truth that was awesome, and I think everybody should check out both of them.
Awesome, fantastic, and I'm sure we will. On behalf of Dominic, Kayvon, Josh, and myself, we really want to say thank you for coming on. Like we said, you could have been anywhere in the world. You could be doing something else, but you decided to take this time out to be on with us. So we want to thank you, and hopefully you can come back again and then talk more wrestling.
Yeah.
With us.
Yeah, my life is super boring. Next time, bring me back. We'll just talk wrestling stuff. You don't need to talk. It's fine. We get it. I write wrestling news all day. Wonderful. That's fine. No, this is great. I had a blast. Please hit me up if you ever want to talk again. This is a really good time for me to do this. So this all worked out well. I had a really good time. So I thank you guys for having me on.
All right. Sounds good. Happy holidays and God bless, man. Have a good night.
You too. Take care, guys.
You too.
All right, gentlemen. Shout out to Nick Houseman for coming on the show today from Wrestling Inc. It's not easy doing these interviews when it's all four of us and we're not in the same room, but I think we did a good job, you know. So shout out to you all because we did our thing. So what did you all think about that?
I think it was
amazing.
Great. I think it was an entertaining episode, and I think that we all found out a little bit more about wrestling through the conversation.
Sweet. I know we got a sizzling, maybe 2-hour show coming up at 10 o'clock tonight. We got a lot of stuff to get into. So we can wrap this baby up because tonight's show might be off the hook.
Tonight's show's going to be straight fire.
Straight fire, yes, sir.
I believe so. I'm going to bring my armor because we might be all disagreeing with each other tonight. I don't know. I'm going to have to bring my armor.
I'm coming hardcore like I'm a hardcore legend.
Bring it, because we're going to have to kick it off with that Roman Reigns topic. We're going to have to kick it off there. Well, this is the special edition of Wrestle Talking to D with Dominic, Josh, Kayvon, and Marquez. We'll be back at 10 p.m. Tonight. We are already getting flack about one of our topics. Like, there's some people that are mad about that topic about AEW being terrible. So I've got people messaging me on Facebook, giving me the blues about that topic, Josh.
Hey, they got to tune in at 10 o'clock to find out what I'm talking about.
Yep, yep. Everybody have a good night, and we'll see you in about 2 hours and 13 minutes on Wrestle Talk and the D.
Be there or be square.
That's right.
I'm trying to find some outro music. All right.